Anybody have anything to talk about?
Well, this list thing is kicking my ass. It's what the list. It's like, the more I think about it, the more I start to panic, because the more I realize how all-encompassing everything is, and the more I'm just paralyzed to write anything down. It's kind of weird. I start writing things down, and I realize this isn't it. This is just trying to... For some reason, I can't get to the real issues.
That's not your business. Okay. Your business is just to put down what is in your mind. It's my business to get to the real issue.
It's like the stuff I talk about aren't even emotional.
It doesn't matter. You put down what is in your head at any moment.
Isn't that comforting?
No.
No, you don't have to worry about it. No. You're never judging what you don't have, ever. If it isn't there, you put what's there. You don't ever have to worry about what you don't have, ever. Ever, 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 about anything. Isn't that simple?
I had like about 2 minutes of peace today. I was laying down with Jackie, taking a nap. And all of a sudden, I just stopped worrying about, you know, this latest trip.
As you all know, the whenever in the past when I've asked you to put stuff down, that's not the issue. It's just the way of opening. And you don't have to worry about, all you have to do is list the things that you're emotionally controlled by that you see. And if you find out, well, maybe, well, you don't have to go through whether, well, is that an emotion or not? Don't worry about it. Okay? Somebody give a, somebody that's been here the last two nights, Harry or Barbara or somebody, or Pete or whoever, give a summary, because a lot of people...
Do you and I need to talk? Is there anything going on between you and I?
Me?
I'm feeling weird right now, but I'm not.
No, you're not irritating me. I was talking to Butch on the way over. I've been cranky today. I'm just cranky. Maybe you're picking up on that, but it's not anything towards you at all. When you said that, it was a big one.
Well, what did you say, Molly?
Well, I want, why don't you start? Just talk about, because several people here left in the middle of Harry's thing Monday night. Then last night we had Larry on the hot seat. So I want somebody to bring him up to date, because I'm not capable of it.
I'm going to talk about Larry, but I'd like somebody else to talk about.
Okay. Well, let somebody else.
I don't think I can do it.
Well,
who else was there Monday night? I mean, I was there.
Monday night.
Yeah.
I was there.
What did you say about, after the flesh, we always want a big display from somebody. And with Harry, it was...
when a lot of people left, that's where it was, God, it's most intense. Everybody was, looking for something to happen, looking for something to happen, looking for something in here. And then Holy started reading to him.
Isaiah.
And it was just so neat. I mean, they were like words spoken directly to Harry about, all his stuff. And it was just from all that intensity and pushing to just all of a sudden just an atmosphere of love. And it was just really neat. I don't know, I felt like, something, instead of being trying to push it inside you, just the act of just letting it seep, you saw everything, and it was really good, and Ollie said, I know you hear this, and I know that you see what you're doing, which is really,
I think the most emotional part, at least for me, was when Ollie read that scripture. I mean, after all this stuff had come down, it was all out in the open, and Harry was, exposed or whatever, and it was, and he said, whatever things are good, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report, think on these things, because, and I've noticed that even in the past couple of days, it's like, instead of, you know, being like a guy in a coal mine, you know what I mean? You know, working and working and working, it's not that way right now. I mean, I felt a real freedom when you said it, and you, and we had a conversation on the way home in the car that night where I just felt Harry really free, and it was neat. It was really neat. And it's like he wasn't having to do his own, what is it, redemption. And it was, you were just loose. It was great.
Yeah, there was a, I saw the same process take place in Larry. Larry and I, in a lot of ways, were very similar, very close. And Larry's idolatry last night turned out, Larry's idolatry was also, or mine was also, both always trying to pay the price. Both always trying, it's always trying to stay out of trouble and trying to do things. Just trying to pay for our own redemption. And I saw the same thing happen in Larry last night that happened to me the night before. It was like this thing was taken out of the closet and put in the middle of the room for everybody in the room to see, including me. And the fact that it had been desecrated was seen. And then Ole started reading these words from Isaiah, and as I said, I think Barbara, somebody the next morning, it was like those were not words that somebody said a couple thousand years ago and were written down and translated. Those words, God was speaking those words now through you to me. And each word, I mean, every single word was alive and real and true and now. And I saw very clearly that I was in a totally inescapable, unredeemable, impossible, totally, eternally impossible situation, an inescapable trap. And I was expecting for these words to after that was made clear, that I was expecting to hear. And because of this, I'm going to rip your arms off, your legs off, your head off, I'm going to grind you into dust and throw you into a pile of excrement or something. And instead, there were these words of love that just flowed. I mean, it just flowed over me and through me. And God was saying, I'm going to do this, this, and this. I've already done it, and I'm going to do it. And it was, I emotionally experienced what you have been saying for years, which is no self-effort. I mean, God will it and do it. God has already willed it, has already done it. Just let go.
Yeah, the thing with Larry, again, I expected a major babble because I've known Larry for so long and so well, and all of his idols. I mean, he doesn't have any. He didn't. I mean, his idols are always just surviving or getting by. Or I mean, and every god, every idol that you have, every idol demands a sacrifice. You have to understand that as the premise of what we're about. And that sacrifice takes on many different forms. And it doesn't accept others. Like in Rick's case, his idol cannot accept anger as a sacrifice. I mean, it can't take place. It's impossible. Harry's idol could not, there could never be happiness or joy. As his, the only thing that his idol accepted as a suitable offering was gritting his teeth and hanging on. I mean, I could get more technical, but those are the kinds of things. But with Larry, it was the same phenomena that occurred. There's a section in Isaiah that I read that there was no question in my mind that it was written for that moment. And it was like nobody believed it was in the Bible again. We went through that thing. They thought I just was making up. He said it was a crossfire spot. But it was so, it was like a laser beam going through with perfect accuracy. not destroying any living tissue. It was only destroying the cancer. And it didn't miss one point. And I had no, you know, I don't have any idea what we're doing. You know, I know in the spirit what's taking place, but we've never done this before. But if the process is like it's been with Harry and with Larry, I mean, you guys have nothing but joy to look forward to.
Amen. When you just said about going in and killing the cancer and leaving the living cells, that clarified something for me, because sometimes I was thinking about this, and I was thinking that we'll be a zombie. We won't have any emotions.
No.
No, we can have our...
Now you have... You're no longer... Your identity was killed on the hot seat with the high place identity. The alliances to it are the molten images. And those alliances, which define the offering that has been acceptable to you, or to that idol, have been that which has prevented you from enduring chastisement. Let me read you something.
I had a laugh just now when you said be a zombie. Not a human, at the thought, because as Barbara can testify, I still have emotion. This afternoon in the car, I went and beat the daylights out of her in a nanosecond. But the difference was, as it was happening, even as it was happening, I could see it. I mean, it was just the emotion still there.
Yeah, just didn't have to drag on it.
Now, listen to this. This is in Hebrews 11. It goes on and on about the people of faith. And then I won't read the whole thing, but it lists them all, you know, starting with Abel and going through all of them. And then it says, and what shall I more shall I say? For even the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others that were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now, the idea of easily besetting us, it should have said which automatically besets us. Because the sin is the offering that you're making to the idol. And it's not automatic. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, looking only unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who instead of the joy that was set before him on the Mount of Transfiguration, endured the cross, despising the shame. That's a hell of a concept, to despise the shame. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I'm going to talk to you one of these days about what it means to be set down. It means it's finished. It's rest. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint or quit in your mind. And you quit in your mind when you offer to the other God. That's how you quit. You understand? You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Well, now we're going to resist. Now you're empowered to resist unto blood. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Now the capacity for endurance is not escape through quitting in your mind. The capacity for endurance comes when you no longer have the compelling need to make an offering to the idols. But if you be without chastisement, i.e. you escape, either in your mind or physically, if you're without chastisement, who's taking notes?
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, I should be taking notes.
If you be without chastisement, whereof all true sons are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. You're an illegitimate son. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them respect. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now this then will cause this process, when you no longer have to make the offering to that false image, that false idol, that false sense, that emotional offering that incapacitates you, when you no longer have to do that, then you can understand this. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, sensed, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen eternal. Now the capacity to endure chastening is directly related to the destruction of your idolatry. You understand? If you have an idol of a way a thing is supposed to be, and your situation does not meet that idolatry, then you will unless that idol is destroyed, you in your mind or physically will run. You understand? Now all of you have done this many, many times. Now we don't want to do that anymore. We want to be anchored securely so that nothing in this universe can touch us. Amen. Now that's what we're about. Okay? Anybody have anything else? Move the seat over a little bit. The first section I read from Hebrews chapter 12, I read from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Through Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. And then I read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18.
When I'd heard that verse about resisting unto blood, I always thought that was my own blood, but that means just till you see the
blood. Till you see the blood.
See Christ, but I always thought it meant I had to resist.
Oh, no. Yeah, I know, everybody thinks that.
That's what I thought.
No.
Yeah.
No, you resist down to the point where you see his blood. Hallelujah.
I did another thing with it. To my idolatry, I thought that means we don't have to resist in the blood. We don't have to do that. You already know. I mean, all the stuff gets filtered. Can you imagine what's going on in here with anything that has to do with abiding or waiting on the Lord, or in this case, resisting on the blood? I mean, you sit there, you grit your teeth, and go like this until blood comes out.
And then Daryl says you don't have to wait.
Daryl's like, I'm out.
You need to give us the 10 questions at the end of your sermon and say, what does this mean?
We would really be pleased.
No, but it wouldn't make any difference. That's why. No, because. It's like. All of this is spiritual food, and you will take what you need at the time.
And sometimes I don't ask because I feel really stupid.
Every time you've said something about waiting on the Lord, I've just risen like a fish in the face.
I want to say something. I was talking to Butch on the way over here in the car. And this is why I'm feeling weird. I've been real cranky and stuff all day. And Butch said, well, it's just PMS, you know. Which is, it is that time. So I was going, I got real defensive about it. And I was sitting over there just stewing about it because... And I don't know why I should get that defensive about that, so... Oh, I think you should.
You should
just drop those words from your vocabulary.
I told him that I thought...
Look on the bright side, Don.
He was happy too.
You've got an anniversary coming up.
Yeah.
Well,
whenever you get the period,
okay, go ahead.
It's a good way for men to take women lightly.
Well, it's just your period.
No.
No, I wasn't trying to take it lightly.
No, but the...
just trying to talk about...
The beauty of it is that the fact that... That's, again, a perfect example to show us how you can't trust your feelings, because women go through that every month.
Yeah, regardless of the circumstances.
The only time you don't go through it is when you are with child. Well, no, I know, but the point is, you no longer are, you know, that's the point. That's why God made you like you did, so you can be a reveler toward us. I mean, we are to be with child so that the emotions that we experience by hormones up and down and every little wind and wave of doctrine, you don't have to pay attention to. You can see through them. You don't have to give them breath.
Yeah, and I also thought of another thing, is that when, you know, y'all were talking about your emotions and being dependent on your emotions, and I just got finished reading a book called Mood Swing, which is about manic depression. I read it, you know, because Butch is gone. So I read it, and it was talking about how you know, your biological clocks and your all these things that determine how you're going to feel that are chemical or that don't have anything to do with outside circumstances.
There was a neat show on last night. I just remember the I don't know what part of that brain.
Hypothalamus.
It had the hot part of the brain that's.
Pineal body.
Well, the pineal body and the hypothalamus and all this stuff. He's talking about different people whose total emotional response was based on physical aberrations. Like this one guy who just enrages, just so much anger and rage, had a tumor that was pressing on his hypothalamus, and they took it out, and he was smiling. Even this one guy had no sex drive because there was something weird going on between his pituitary gland and the other gland that was back there. I mean, and he had an artificial little thing. He had this artificial thing they put him to inject him with whatever little deal that was. And
oh, I see. He got a raging heart?
The virileness came back. It was really weird. And people who terrible depression, sometimes to cure it, they just... deprive them of sleep for 24 hours and it's like their body clocks off. And then they're just like
poking the pig.
Yeah, but I mean, and you can't take the person seriously. It's just,
you know, it's like we've been subject to hormones and lithium and stuff like that.
One of the worst causes is lifting weights.
Just recently discovered.
About an hour ago.
See, I understand what you're saying, Jack, but I just don't, you know, I just don't want to be controlled by that anymore. I mean, I can take it real seriously. The doctor told me that you have a slight chemical imbalance, so maybe you should take drugs. And I said, I don't want to take drugs. I'll just, you know, what God's going to do is going to do is, like, I don't want to take drugs. Am I going to take drugs?
And I was just
going to
say
that. I don't know. I said, I'm as happy as that.
Yeah, that
must have
just happened a second ago.
Yeah, just about the time Andy got your chair.
No.
Yep. Oh, dude.
I was ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
No, I was ready to go. Yeah. I was even going to ask to go, but I thought I'd wait.
I thought better.
Actually, I felt like better after I got here.
I don't know.
I was paranoid all day, and then I got relaxed after that.
If you knew where I was, I'd leave off the building right now. You said that'll cure it.
As long as there was no blood.
mighty man of God.
This is a brief list.
See, we're not there.
Are we ready to start? Yep.